Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to talk about the ascension of Jesus, which we celebrated yesterday, and now we're approaching the day of Pentecost as well, the event of Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit are all intimately connected. In some ways, his resurrection and ascension, though it happened at different times, was one fundamental act. Jesus rose from the dead, and his destiny the whole time was the right hand of God the Father in heaven, where he would sit at the Father's right hand. Everything, as we mentioned in yesterday's reading from Ephesians, St. Paul said, you know, everything was put under his feet. That is, he's been given full authority over everything. And now everything that was made for him and through him, and he's now renewing everything. He's bringing people from death to life. He's going to ultimately renew his creation. He's going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. But he's also going to subdue the enemies of God. He's also going to destroy all those who ignore his offer of salvation. That's a fact. It's the kind of thing people don't like to talk about these days, but it is intimately connected to Jesus' overall mission, is to deal with all opposition to the Father, beginning with Satan and his demons and any human beings who refuse to acknowledge God and refuse to repent and come to new life in God and to be baptized. And it's really, really important for us to see this as we look and behold the majesty and the beauty of Jesus. And so I just want to take a few thoughts from the Catechism about the nature and character of Jesus, talking about who he is as Lord. One of the things that the apostles witnessed to with some regularity is they witnessed not only to his resurrection from the dead, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection, but they witnessed to his signs and wonders. They witnessed to the fact that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and they tell people regularly, like in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and Paul will say that he's the one that's appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All of human history is in the hands of Jesus, its destiny. It's going to go exactly where Jesus wants it to go. And so we're living in a time between the two comings of Jesus, which I've mentioned many times on the program, and the church exists between his first coming as a lamb, when he laid down his life to take away sin, to give humanity opportunity to be able to be saved, to come to a living relationship with God that they could share in forever, and to give us an eternal destiny. But he's going to come again to do something different. He's going to come not to offer mercy, but to bring judgment. He's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Catechism paragraph 668 said, Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity in God's power and authority. So this has direct implication to your life and mine, and that is in his humanity, Jesus entered the presence of God. Jesus took human flesh, took humanity in him, into the holy place, the presence of God. Adam, our first father in the flesh, the first human, took us into a dark place, took us away from God. The second Adam, Jesus, comes to bring us home to the Father's house. And because of Jesus, because of him alone, is salvation possible. Because salvation isn't just getting physically healed or sort of firming up our life and making it head in the right direction. Salvation is ultimately getting home. It's coming into the presence of God forever and sharing in his life. That's the ultimate goal, right? Only Jesus can bring it about because only Jesus is there. The Catechism goes on in that same paragraph. He is far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and he's put all things under his feet. And 669, Christ now dwells on earth in his church through his people. That's why we can and we ought to look a lot differently than we look, friends, brothers and sisters. That includes some of our bishops and leaders, and we're meant to look like Peter and Paul. They were not completely without sin, sure, but they were transformed. They knew who they were in Christ, their identity. They knew what they'd been given in Christ, the power that they'd been given in the Holy Spirit to live holy lives, and to extend his mission in the world, to bring down the kingdom of Satan. They knew it, and they went forward with that confidence, and they did what Jesus told them to do. They did the deeds, and they preached Jesus so clearly. And as I showed earlier in the week here, Peter's witness in the temple after healing the lame man, he's speaking to Jews, for heaven's sakes, who came to the temple to pray. They're there to pray, yet Peter looks him in the eye and says, this sign and wonder happened because Jesus is Lord. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he wants your attention. And what he wants you to know, in some ways, is that the clock is ticking. And Peter calls them to repent and to change their lives. And to repent from what? He tells them, from their wickedness. Today, that almost never happens. All we talk about is, you know, communicating with people with a soft word, a gentle word. I mean, this is a loving word. This is love. This is the paradigmatic preaching of the church. It couldn't be more loving. It's love to help people understand the truth about their condition before God. We should never shy away from that. It's a huge mistake to set aside the directness of the apostles and the difficult teachings and the directness of Jesus with a kind of therapeutic manipulation of God's word. But people can't stand it today. They can't hear it. They're not going to accept it. Don't rely on that. Rely on the word of God and its power and imitate Jesus and imitate the apostles. That's what we need to do. We'll see more as a result. So, and then paragraph 670, it goes on to say, we're in the last hour, this final age of the church's mission, which is an age of the Spirit and of witness. Paragraph 672 says to us, and that it's a time when the church still remains in this trial against evil. But as I said, Jesus, the King and Lord of all, the one who loves us, who knows us, is going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the Catechism sums up some of the beautiful teaching from Scripture that's so clear. Paragraph 1038, the resurrection of all the dead, of both the just and the unjust, will precede the last judgment. This will be the hour when all who are in the tombs will hear the Son of Man's voice, now quoting the Scripture, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Then Christ will come in his glory, and all the angels with him. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them, one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is direct quoting from Scripture, from the teaching of Jesus and the apostles, and this is the destiny of the human race, no doubt about it. We're going to end up in one or two places. Paragraph 1039 says, in the presence of Christ, then, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. And for our time, and I beg all the teachers and preachers that may be listening to this, internalize this and communicate this to people. This is crucial. In the presence of Christ, who is he? He is the truth itself. The truth of each man's relationship to God will be laid bare. Today, the culture is preoccupied with and insisting on the importance of my truth, subjective truth. Am I in a good place before God? It's up to me. It's my truth. If that's what I believe, great. If this is who I believe is my God, if this is what I believe is good, that's what I'll do. If this is my truth, no one can take it away. No one can judge me. That's the culture that's emerging in our society. You can't judge me. Don't judge me, right? My behavior. Now, Christians don't judge the hearts of people. We can't. Only Christ and only God knows what's in the human heart ultimately. But we can certainly judge behavior. We can say that's objectively wrong, right? But Jesus is the one who knows the truth about every person's heart. And it's not going to matter on the last day when someone says, well, I was living by my truth, and this is my truth, Jesus. And it didn't line up with everything that you and the apostles said, but I just saw a different light. I went a different way. I was following my own bliss. I was, you know, being myself. I was self-creating, all that nonsense. We're going to come up against the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And the truth is going to be, where was your heart in relationship to God and God's clear commands? It's going to be a shocking moment, and a moment you can't change, you can't turn away from. You can't live your life over. There's no reset. That's it. It's the final judgment. Paragraph 1039, the last judgment will reveal even to its furthest consequences the good each person has done or failed to do during their earthly life. What was the consequence of your saying yes to Jesus? What were the consequences of your saying no and following your own truth? We'll see it, like on a film probably, almost like we'll see the consequences of our actions and whether it helped lead people deeper into love, the love of God, the love of neighbor, and serving God's purpose, or turn people away. And we'll see the full glory of it or the full horror and ugliness of it, and it will be inescapable. Paragraph 1040. The last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory. Only the Father knows the day and the hour, and only He determines the moment of its coming. Then through His Son, Jesus Christ, He will pronounce the final word on all history. Every kingdom, every civilization, every phony political system, every lying person, in, you know, all my sin, you know, by God's mercy, hopefully I'll die in Him and will be forgiven. And I hope that's the condition each one of us is in. But it's not a sure thing in the sense of it's a done deal no matter what I do. Despite what some Christians might say, it's possible for me to lose this gift of salvation that Jesus has given me. We live with a biblical mindset, the full revelation of the Bible, which is I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved if I persevere in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. All the strength I need is there if I want it and I want to pursue in it for Christ to continue to do His work in me for the sake of salvation. But the final word, you know, there's all kinds of words going out about, you know, what's great, what political systems are great, what nations are great, what people are great, what companies are great, what sports teams are great, you name it. Everybody's pursuing greatness. God is the only one who at the end of history is going to reveal the truth about all of history, my personal history and the history of the world. We shall know the ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation and the entire economy of salvation and understand the marvelous ways by which His providence led everything towards its final end. The last judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all the injustices committed by His creatures and that God's love is stronger than death. And God's love is expressed in Jesus, in mercy that He's offering now, which is the forgiveness of sins. Friends, it's not love, and it's not the right response to love, the love of God, to say, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't need my sins forgiven. I don't need to accept Jesus into my heart. I don't need to be baptized into His church and receive His sacraments. That's just foolishness and a darkened mind is what that is. Paragraph 1041, the message of the last judgment calls men to conversion while God is still giving them the acceptable time and the day of salvation. It inspires a holy fear of God and commits them to the justice of the kingdom of God. It proclaims the blessed hope of the Lord's return when He will come to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed. Friends, this is the destiny. This is it. May we know the acceptable time and respond to it. Don't forget to tune into Renewal Ministries. Go to our website at renewalministries.net. Download our app, all our TV shows, radio shows, monthly newsletter. All of that's there on our website. Free for the asking, free for the taking. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.